Before I go on to answer the question, the question is not a problem. We wrote all these and published in a book, a whole book, An-Nasiha, regarding the travel of the Muslim woman without a mahram. It's a whole book. So don't think that when I was laughing that Otidoji alone. No, it has answers. But I would like to quickly mention two things. The first thing I'd like to mention was, when and until now, anyone you see in an association society with strong affiliations to it, if you ask that person, what is the proof for your affiliation? They don't have it. We didn't know it too. So this forms the importance of having to mention issues like this. It's not that it's been mentioned to be said that it was mentioned and to be made a case for noise. But because it is not being mentioned, people don't talk about it. But it is written, there are books the ulama had written long ago about all these matters. At least here with me, I came with six on this issue of jama'ah. Six. I have others at home. There are books scholars have written, and there are fatwa. Usaymin has fatwa. Bumbaz has fatwa. I thought you would read some of them. Bumbaz has, Sheikh Salih Fawzan al-Fawzan Ahad, Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, he wrote a whole book, Hukmul Intima. A whole book, voluminous book on this matter. What is the ruling of societal affiliation? So, but who cared to read these books at the time? It is milestones. Books like this, towards understanding Islam, Let Us Be Muslims. Those were the books people read. In fact, if you have to search now for a book on this matter in English, I don't know one. So many of the people will not know. Like we didn't know too. So we were there because we didn't know. So when Allah makes us know now, we have a responsibility to educate the people. And if you want to know it, just ask anybody who is there now, do you have a proof? You just start trying to think out one. Not that he already has one. Like if you ask me what is the proof to have to perform wudu before salah, I say easily. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the one who does not have wudu does not have salah. Easily. But if you ask someone who has societal affiliations, what is the proof he doesn't have? So we did it because we didn't know that there are no proofs for what we are doing. We thank Allah who has made us to know. So we have to let others know. And Imam ibn Abdul Wahhab, in his Usul al-Salata, he was saying that what is most obligatory on the Muslim is to know Allah, to know His Messenger, and then to make da'wah unto it. So Sheikh Salih ibn al-Husaymin, when he was explaining this point, he said the Muslim, whenever Allah blesses him with the understanding of any matter, he has to tell his brother. See, it's just what we are doing. Allahu A'lam. The question is, Aisha radiallahu anha, not she alone, with some other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went on the journey and they didn't have their mahari. Firstly, the ulama who responded to this, like Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he said there is no evidence that they didn't have their mahari. He said this hadith does not point that their maharim was not with them because they were in a group of Muslims. There's no evidence that any of their maharim was not with them. Because they had brothers, they had uncles among those who were companions. So there's no evidence in this very, very hadith that they didn't have maharim. It cannot be deduced from it. Because it's not mentioned. And the possibility that they had maharim who went with them was there. So it cannot be used as an evidence. The second response they gave to it was that Allah has told us in Surah Al-Ahzab that النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ, that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the second part of the verse, that they are mothers to us. So if it is accepted that yes, her brothers and uncles and that who should go with her maharim, we are not there. All the Muslims are our maharim. Because Allah says she's their mother. So it's not evidence. That's why I was saying that it's not something you start thinking. Long ago, we said it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can read that book. It clarifies all those issues of maharim. So that we'll not be talking about it on and on. Allahu alam. Alayhi wa sallam.
Even on Hajj,
what is most authentic is that a woman should not go for Hajj except that her mahram is with her. He's just saying that the only area where there is difference of opinion is the issue of Hajj. He's not saying that a woman should go for Hajj. Hakala?
Now, the second question. So, because people will say, people are looking for new goals.
Yeah, they are looking for new goals.
I mean, they can hammer or that and say they have to start on the initial thing. So, let's continue on that. We can see now that people will come to the ground and say, hey, we have to provide that matter. That will be on their priority list, you know, that will be the thing. That what is part of the appeal of funds is that on the hash, the woman, if that is only option, you have to go for hash with, I mean, there's no any, I mean, the mahram, where she goes. That from other collateral affairs, even that hash, the woman should not go. You have to make it collateral affairs. So don't just believe for the allowance or the minister.
How do we know those words that should
things that we should really ask.
This will lead me to first of all also mention the second observation that I wanted to observe. I think my comment on Arabiya ordinarily is not confusing. It was clear that what I was saying was that in this part of the country especially, people consider anyone who is versed in language as a scholar, and that it's not necessary like that. You know the scholarship by the time it begins to give the positions of Sharia on the issue, present its evidences from the Kitab and Sunnah. From there, we begin to know his rusukh in the ilm. So it is not that, it is not in any way belittling the language. Like he said, it is not possible for someone to be an alim except that he understands the language with which the revelation came. It's not possible. So this makes me go to the question proper, that who are those we are going to ask? This question, Sheikh Salih ibn al-Uthaymeen in his book, Al-Khilaf Bain al-Ulama, actually a lecture transcribed and has been published long ago, was when making, how do we get saved? From how do we find solutions to the problems of difference of opinion? He categorized people into three. The first group of people are the scholars, the ulama. He said they don't have to follow any other alim. A scholar must not, it's not binding on him that he has to follow another scholar, alim mujtahid. The second group of people are tulabul ilm, the students of knowledge. They have knowledge also, but they are not like the scholars. They follow proofs. They read here and there and there and say, from all these, this is the right position. He said these kind of people, what they should do regularly is to usually also link themselves to scholars and also ask them questions. So that the areas where they did not see, the scholars would have seen and they can explain to them. So they should be in regular touch with the ulama. The third group of people are the awam, the masses. He said these people, he advised them that they should make efforts not to remain in this position. They should make efforts to go up to the second and then perhaps the third and the fourth place. He said, but when in the time that they are not in the second position, they don't know how to clearly know what is right. When scholars differ, what should they do? He said they should look for the best scholar. He had mentioned opinions. They should look for the best scholar around, the most learned in Kitab and Sunnah around them, and always ask him regarding their areas of need, their areas of confusion. He should be the one they ask. And whenever they can find anyone who is more learned than that one, they should also go to him and be asking that person. But the question that he himself put in the face of this, his explanation is, the one who does not know, how does he know who is more learned and who is not more learned? So you see, at the end of the day, he's just trying to say, okay, he should still look for someone that he is reliable, that is reliable to me, that he will be asking those questions and who will be guiding him. But he should keep in mind that the guidance should always mention regarding the Kitab and Sunnah. Do we understand? So whenever there are problems regarding scholars say this, scholars say that, if you are a tolerable ill, you can get all the books and study the matter. When you get a natija, a result, you can call an alim and say these opinions exist. I'm thinking that this is more authentic, like this, because of so and so reason. The alim can say, yes, you are right. It is better for him and safer. Do you understand? But if the person is not a tolerable ilm, he can link up with people who are to love him, or he should link up with the scholars around him. Today, many things are easy. There are sites we can ask scholars questions. QA is trying, they are making efforts. The Sheikh Salih al-Munaji, most of the time he quotes the fatwa of past scholars like Gumbaz and the rest of them. There are also scholars from all over the world who we can get in touch with. And I'm sure all of our brothers here, yeah, inshallah, if we don't know, we will call scholars and they will tell us. I assure you, if you ask us, we don't know, we will call scholars, ulama, and ask them. Alhamdulillah, we can relate to them easily now. So I don't think there's problems in that. Just keep on asking. These are people, inshallah. Allah will bring about your guidance through them, inshallah.
And the next question says, when said Sheikh Allah said you can cheat and take the proceeds of the Hawaii,
you are already making
it. I have listened to one of the states that said that the Indians go to the military and it is clear that they have gone out of the rule of Islam. Then the Amir of Islam, the Islamic state, killed them. As he said, Ali did to Khawari. Please clarify what
well, I didn't say Faisal is Sheikh. I didn't say that. And I didn't also say that he said the Khawarij should be killed. I didn't say that. But he made statements that are in line with the teachings and the dispositions of the people of Khuruj, the Khawarij. His statements are like their statements. And his attitudes are like their attitudes. So that is what I said. And the reason for that is he has made a fear of leaders of Muslims and the scholars of Muslims. So, and there is no index of knowing the people of Khuruj like General Takfir and rebel against leaders of Muslims. Do we understand what I'm saying? The greatest index to know someone who is a Khariji is takfir, mutlaqan, just making takfir of people and rebelling against leaders. Of course, before they rebel against those leaders, they first of all throw the takfir on them. So those are the positions. He is now saying, for him to say that yes, during the time of Ali, he fought against the Khawarij, it does not mean that he does not have Khawarijiyah in him. And that's why we said, Jahiliyyah is of two forms. Either the person does not know that he himself is ignorant regarding the matter, or that he knows that he is ignorant, and yet he acts, or he knows the matter really, and then he acts against knowledge. And at the same time, you see that his attitude has gone against all what you have said regarding Huwaifat Mun Yaman. Who amongst the alim told him to say that? Of course, the people that could tell him to say that are the very people that he has declared as kuffar. So he's coming to say that Khawarij were fought by Ali ibn Abi Talib does not really make sense. It's like criticizing the very thing you are doing. So this is the matter regarding regarding the so-called Sheikh Faisal. Allah Akbar.
In addition to that, I put So the first trait of the Khawarij is to revolt against the ruler. That the next general perfil of people of Kabai, all these are additional traits. The first trait is a Khuruj and a Sukkam. So when you saw the Islam, you like the Khawarij, that you know about that. Allah.
Now,
Sheikh
Faisal said that the
Yeah. talking about example like Imam. So Imam is a contemporary of the Ulama. So in that now we are taking into that Islam. Now, there is also a personal question here. Do you not realize, personal addressing the lecturer, do you not realize also that by calling ourselves Salafis, we are also forming a group or a sect? It's of the same to us that we should not address any group or sect.
You know, when we were explaining Jama'atul Muslimin, we mentioned five opinions and we discussed each of those opinions. Don't forget that we said the first opinion is Jama'atul Sahaba, that the group of the companions, waman ala ma hum alayhi, and the one who is upon what the companions are upon. This is the first explanation of Jama'a. And this is the meaning of Salafiyah. If you say you're a Salafi, what you are saying is that you are saying that I am upon what the companions were upon. It's like putting the whole world in a single word. And this word is not just that today it started being used. The word is known in our deen to refer to the people who affiliate themselves to the companions and the ways of the companions. So these are also Jama'atul Muslimin. And that was why when we were talking about when he says, even if وَلَوْ أَنْ تَعَدَّ عَلَىٰ أَكْلِ شَجَرَةٍ, even if you have to hold to, with your teeth, if you have to hold to the roots of a tree, we mentioned it, that the explanation to this is also found in the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatul khulafa ar-rashidun ar-rashidin al-mahdiyina min ba'd." He says, "Addu alayha bin nawajid." This hadith is also talking about Salafiyyah. "Ma kana ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi." And we quoted other statements. So anyone, even when the jama'a does not exist, in having a jama'a and an imam, the jama'a based on that hadith of Irbad that explains this other hadith of Uzayf ibn al-Yaman exists in the fact that there are people who are also on that path. Even when they have not come together to say, oh, this is our Amir. And that is one of the ways of following the hadith. So the one who holds on to the root of the tree and is upon what the companions were upon is still on the jama'a. Based on the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyah, do we understand, and other hadith that we have mentioned. So to say I'm Salafi and I'm ready to cooperate with a Muslim, because people can ask, how are we going to do, for example, a village dawah if we don't have a, for example, Takatul Hizbi, if we don't have an organizational arrangement? How are we going to make dawah in the village? I want to make dawah in the village, for example. I have Abu Nasir, Salam, I have Abu Juwairia, I have Abu Barakat with me, and I can say, okay, let all of us go there. And because we are on a journey, we can choose one of us to lead us. This is permissible in the Sharia. Because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in Ahadith that let not any two of you move in a group on a journey except that one of you is their leader. This hadith is Hassan. And it is reliable. Judgment can be based upon it. So we can appoint one of us to lead us. And when we get there, I'll say one of us should preach to the people. We finish, everybody disperse. The person living in Kaduna goes to his Kaduna. The person living in Alatuko goes to his Alatuko. The person living in Ikorodu goes to his Ikorodu. Khalas. But to now say, okay, this is the Amir to whom we have bay'ah, and then this is his secretary, whatever they say, oh, so Jama, we have a meeting tomorrow, and then we begin to take all the time. This act does not have evidence. This is the difference between ta'awun, cooperating in the Sharia, and tahazzub. Such that we begin to say, now come and join our Jama, you have to take the form, and all these kind of things people make that are indices of the Jama as we know them today. Allahu A'lam. I hope it is clear.
Now, what Allah is trying to tell us is that the difference between you ascribing your faith to practicing what they are upon, and you calling yourself a name that can be salary. You want to call the first a salary and look at the deed in action, Akira, his manhash, and they contradict the Akira of the first of our son, the manhash of the first of our son, the companion. So the body, who did call the third a salary is not a salary. A, one of the Akam, Akwai, Kazira. And that was why I said, according to Benin, in his book, the Shari of the Bosnian Hadith, the cover of the Makata 59 in Egypt, when he was explaining that same Hadith of the Bible in Israel, he said that there have been various sects in the past. He said, Jahiliya, the Mauritania. Then, later, some group also sprang up, like the Ikhwan Yun, the Ikhwan Muslim, then he mentioned the Salafi Yun, then he mentioned the Salafi Yun. So, the Sheikh was defending those who are calling themselves Salafi Yun. Because when he says, ascribing your system to Salafiya, as you know, what you do to assist people and you reject people, that is not what the Sunnah. Being upon one of the first of us was upon, and you compare with other Muslim groups where they are upon the truth, which is what is known as Ta'awun, as a Zidri or Tekwa. When you know that they are upon, what is wrong with Sharia is also to reject. So the Sheikh also decided those who are being attacked the same goal as you. And the truth of this matter is that in Algeria, there is a group there, as they have to Salafi, they have to the da'awah for the time. They call themselves the man from Asia, but they are only the da'awah and also the fight people. So they report the bring the ruler. Now, so what they are calling themselves the man from Asia, what the next thing is for the social duty, for the companion duty, this yes, we're going to the end. If no, then work for your Asia. So we are not used to calling for participation that you people start calling yourself for you. What are you going to do to that you as long as you act be like that, you are not a Salafi, you are a Khalafi. So what are you going to say to Salafi and Sunnah Ansari and Eli Khalafi Hadith all are named? The subject matter is what really matters. All around.
How do that? Yeah. Another question is, from what I gather, maybe for the lecture is that we shall change the value from truth and text, and that there is no difference between the two of them. So it is the same way I have abstained from the Shia and the Khawarij that I should stay away from the Nasba that we had to hear. That's what I say.
Well, I think this thing has been mentioned on and on. But just to say, is actually 1 plus 1 is actually 1 plus 1 equal to 2? Else, this statement has come on and on. That it is not just the sect, as we know sect, that even the groups, and we brought the explanations of two of the scholars regarding that portion. One of them, Ubaidullah al-Jabiri, and the second are amongst the two whose comments we made benefit with in the process of understanding the issue was who? I think it was Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Halim we mentioned. I read some of his comments to us. And many others too have said these things. That these organizations, they are not different from the sect. Al-Khalid Al-Ambari. We mentioned his explanations too. The books are here. So they are not different. So it's not until someone says, we are not groups, we are not sects. Because there's no difference between tafarruq and tahazzub. We mentioned the verse of the Quran, with which one of the wives of the Prophet, as was reported by Hassan al-Basri, made evident that she said, إِنَّ النَّبِيَّ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَرِئَ نَفْسَهُ مِمَّنْ تَفَرَّقَ دِينَهُ وَاحْتَزَبَ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has distanced himself from the one who divides his being, Tafarraqa, and then Istazama. So they have not made any difference. So like she had, and she read the verse, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ. So look at Allah making the usage of the word Tafarruq and Ahzab. So many of the scholars are giving this explanation, including Ali Hassan himself in his book, إِسْتَيَعَ دَعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. So there is no difference between the two. But one fact is very important, that even the person who says, like it is said, that I'm Salafi, your actions matter also a lot. Your aqeedah matters also a lot. What do you believe? What do you act upon? What is your manhaj? Is it manhaj of the companions and all this? It's important. But there's no difference between his and firqa, group, the group and faction, and then what we refer to as sect. In fact, lexically, there's no difference between sect and group, even in the English diction. In the English language, there is no difference in the two. Allahu Akbar.
We have one question more. I'm going to read this question together so that the lecturer will answer what they are ready to say. Someone saying, what of us, in brackets, the president of Albania, to form the idea of the mass with a single human? And the other person says, do you not realize that by not coming together, we cannot propagate Islam effectively? Then what sort of resistance or idea will come to the idea of the human?
If the coming together is, as was explained, ta'awun, cooperating, to get things done. We gave an example typically. There is no blame about that. But tahazzub and tafarruq, groupism and factionalism, is not part of the deen. Allah says, وَاَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Okay, he says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. He says, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ. Ulama say, Allah told us in the first verse about the importance of da'wah. And in the second verse, he said that yes, even if you must do da'wah, it does not imply that you must break yourself into firaq. You must break yourself into factions and groups and sects because you want to make da'wah. So these two things must go hand in hand. If making the da'wah, we must only make it in the manners that are acceptable in the Sharia. Else, we'll just be wasting our time. We'll be doing what we have not been sent to do in the manner we have not been sent to do it. So these two things go hand in hand. In the name of wanting to do da'wah, we must not become firaq and ahzab. Why don't the Salafis come together? Firstly, this word Salafi, there is no Salafiya group as it is being conceptualized now, I think, in the mind of the way the question has come. And that is what the brother has explained, that we are just making it, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned Firqatun Najiyah. It's just like saying Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So it is a group that is going to succeed. We know all these ahadith regarding one group not falling into fire. So this is all about it. But the fact that the group now comes and then there is an imam on it who heads it, there are two ways, there are two explanations the scholars have given. Don't forget that we are in a difficult situation. We are not going to mention anything except what the scholars have mentioned. Do we understand? Else, we will be running contrary to the attitude of Huzayfa from Nuliyaman that he has taught us and we have mentioned on and on in this program. The first explanation to that is that there are some regions that belong to the Muslims, and that the Muslims in some of these regions have accepted their leader as the leader amongst them. That these kinds of communities can be considered also as Jama'ah, a group of Muslims. as the group of Muslims, and that such jama'ah, such group, should not be worked against, because the fitna that is feared when someone rebels against jama'at al-Muslimin is also feared when someone rebels against that kind of a government. It means the government has sultan, and the sultan is one that is recognized in the Sharia. Do we understand? Sultan, authority. A group of Muslims in a region agree. Don't forget, jama'at al-Muslimin is the group of Muslims who agree that someone should be their leader. The person is their leader and is leading them. If you rebel against that person, maybe 2,000 of you rebel against the person, na'udhubillah, rebel against that leader, the blood that you fear that should not be spilled when you rebel against the Amir of all the Muslims all over the world, the same thing will still happen. So it means that that government, that leadership of those Muslims in regions of the world, it has authority to establish Islam, to establish the rules, to establish whatever it wants to establish. So the relationship of the Muslim with that kind of a regional government will be a relationship that we should give to the Amir of the Muslim. Many scholars said this in their books. One of them, Abdullah ibn Sarjis, one of the scholars, he mentioned this. Sheikh Khalid al-Ambari, he mentioned it. Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid, he also mentioned it in his book, Ad-Dawah Ilallah. Sheikh Salih ibn al-Uthaymeen, that is his fatwa. Sheikh Bumbaz, that is his fatwa too. That we cannot rebel against the government of that kind of a region. So that is one explanation for the Jama'at al-Muslimin. Regarding today and getting a leader to come up amongst them. The other explanation is, but that if the leader must be one that all the Muslims all over the world will come under. This one, only Allah knows when he's going to bring it, as it is said in the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir in Musnad Imam Ahmad. He said, between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the last day, there are five periods. He mentioned the period of Nubuwwah. He mentioned the period of Khilafa ala manhaj Nubuwwah. He mentioned the period of Mulkan Jabariyan, Mulkan Aban. And then he mentioned the period of Mulkan Jabariyan. And he says for each of them, Yarfa'uha ma sha'a Allahu an yarfa'uha. Allah would remove each of these periods whenever he likes to remove it. That is, the period of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will take his Prophet whenever he wants to take him. There will be khilafa ala manhaj nubuwa. Allah will make it exist for as long as he wants it to exist, and he will remove it whenever he wants to remove it. And the same thing applies to the muluk, to the kings and dynasties. Allah will make them exist for as long as he wants them to exist, and he will remove them whenever he wants them to be removed. And then you see there will be a period of colonialism. This is the period we are now mostly, because most of the nations of Islam are under colony, and most of the Muslims are colonized. So he said, يَرْفَعُهَا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَرْفَعُهَا. Allah will remove this colonialism whenever he wants to remove it. So ours is to do what he says we should do and remain until his nusra comes. He says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَآمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They will be made leaders on the surface of the earth. Who will make them? Allah. When will he make them? We don't know, because it is يَرْفَعُهَا إِذَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَرْفَعُهَا. Do we understand? Allah wa ala.
We thank our brother for this presentation of the topic of the day. Even though the second lecture we have not been able to take it, that doesn't match with that of the tomorrow, inshallah. But since I have read some papers in Islam, from what we've had so far, something is very, very clear that this being, this Islam, there's no way we can understand it except with knowledge. That's what is clear. And every time you increase in knowledge, you increase in better understanding and practice of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in the Quran, there's no way an ignorant person can be a Muslim. Because innama yakhsha Allahu min ibadihi al-ulama. Only the learned can fear Allah. And how do you have to fear Allah is by knowing what Allah wants and what he does not want.
And so from what we had so far, it's very, very clear that the only way forward for us to be able to practice Islam in the best way and the way Allah will accept is for us to increase in our position of knowledge. And we should be putting effort and we should forget about the issue of wishful thinking. Oh, inshallah, I want to be like this, I want to be like this. Please try and take a step forward. And inshallah, Allah will assist. Because my jahad has been and I am subhanahu. So if you struggle towards Allah, Allah will guide you aright. So please take note of that. Secondly, tomorrow, we want us to come on time, please, for Allah. Please, everything that you have to do that will be stopped from getting there on time, please do it tonight before you sleep. And you know you live in a very far place, calculate the time that will take you to get there. Alhamdulillah, we are in a period of the so-called holiday, there will be no much traffic on the way. Please let us just get there on time so that at least we can start the lecture by 10. That is the accumulated time by 10. You know, open house starts between 9 and 10, and we should even use that for answering some of the questions that people have sent forward that they are not able to ask. And you know, I tell you, there's a question here about maybe praying behind the eyes of the young. That's just like the example of people who do zikri in Jama'ah. You know, many at times we find ourselves in a situation whereby we will have started certain things without asking the people of knowledge whether we can do it or not. So later on, having started it and we are deeply rooted in it, so we'll be looking for evidence to back that thing that inshallah is just part of it, whatever. The first question is that those who brought Islam to us, even who narrated their things, you are quoting by the Sahaba. Did they do it the way you are doing it? Did they have the same understanding as you are having about this particular hadith? That the messenger of Allah said, and are giving it your own interpretation. How did the people of the early period understand that particular hadith? How did they put it into practice? These are the questions we should ask ourselves. And please, don't be carried away by the highly rated people that, oh, these people have been rated. No. What we are saying is, what is the evidence for everything that they do? We are people of text, not people of personality. We only emulate people when their actions and utterances agree with the Quran and Sunnah as understood by our rightly guided predecessors. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us better understanding of Islam. Inshallah, this is how we are going to end today's program. I pray Allah to preserve our lives and witness remaining days and even more. Barakallahu alhamdulillah.
Very, very tired.